Hello, Rock Bible Church.
Brian, turn me up. Turn me up. Here we go. Good morning, Rock Bible Church. I'd like to introduce you to our newest member. There she is. Roxanne, newest Berglund. Daughter to Cyrus and Grace, Julie and my son and daughter-in-law and such. And we thought today would be a great day to dedicate her unto the Lord. Amen. And I will say it's kind of fun because I'm looking around. There's some other babies here that we've dedicated here. And I think that when people ask, yes. She's related to her great-grandfather, Wayne, who slept through every sermon. She's tired, bored of me already. I want to make sure everybody knows when they ask you about Rock Bible Church and what's the church like, what do you do? You say, we mostly just do baby dedications. All right. Talk about the Lord some, too. You guys are in for a treat. You're about to experience one of the larger family gatherings we've had. So I would like to invite all of the Berglunds, OCs, Dohertys, Wests, La Fountain, Clink, Hover, Hunter, Moore. Yeah, exactly. All right, folks, get up here. Find a spot on the stage. Grace and Cy up front, sit at dead center. I'm glad you guys stuck around for this up there. I expect future baby dedications out of you guys. All right, well, here we go. Yeah. Okay. So we got to back up just a little bit. Shorter's in the front, taller's in the back. Here we go. Excuse me. Okay, we got to cover a little business first before we can just go straight into the dedication. So, Cyrus and Grace, do you affirm your faith in the Lordship and salvation of Jesus Christ our Lord?
Yes,
we do.
Okay. And do you acknowledge that Roxanne, although she was in some sense your idea, that she was God's idea and she is a gift of the Lord first and foremost?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Amen.
Yes.
And you recognize that while you are responsible for her, she belongs to Him?
Yes.
Okay. Last question, and then we're going to ask them. Will you commit to raise her in such a way that she may choose faith in Jesus Christ someday in her future?
Yes.
Excellent. All right, folks. Do you commit to be the community that will help to raise her and help her in her walk in faith with the Lord?
Yes.
You do. Okay. Well, let's do this then. This is a little oil. Well, I should have done it with limoncello, but we're out. Won't say who's responsible for that. Roxanne, we anoint you in the name of Jesus Christ. His shed blood, His sacrifice, and Lordship for your future salvation. Amen?
Amen.
All right, now let me have her for a second.
Oh, boy.
Okay. Roxanne, me. Let's fix the
dress.
Yeah, there we go. Brooks, you had your turn already. May you grow to be as strong and brave as Deborah, as loyal as Ruth, and smarter than your elders. Father God, we thank you for Roxanne. We thank you for Cyrus and Grace. Thank you for microphones. And we trust, Lord, that you would bless this family to follow you in every way. Help us to be the support that you have called us to be. And we praise you for this moment in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right. Back to the seats. Your mic still okay? Some of you might be looking. If you're a little bit in the know, Josh, stand up. You might be like, wait, some of them aren't technically family, but they're about to be. Stand up. Here we go. November 1st, coming up. Yep. All right, let's bumper. With me, it's always user error. It's been quite the weekend, and I appreciate so many of you who've been around and supportive and helping in many ways, even if it was just prayers. We had the service yesterday, the memorial service for Wayne Frederick Klink, patriarch of the family. We had just tons of people, and so many great things happened, and then we had a great reception afterwards, and so I just want to thank you for that. I really enjoy you as a church. I really enjoy you. And I want to thank you from the family in so many ways. And they're all here, so meet some of them. We're going to talk about some of them this morning. We're going to have a little fun. We're going to continue in our series in the book of Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. Before we do that, though, there is yet to be even more fun. We're going to have communion in a little bit. And then in the back, there's a little poster there back at the table as you're walking out the mirrors about this little event. It's once a year. It's the barbecue down on Main Street, across from Vic's All-Star Kitchen, Norm's Barbershop. They host a car show, vintage bike show, live music, barbecue. It's just fun or whatever. And we've tried to be supportive of our community because we're Rock Bible Church. Christ-centered, biblically-based, compelling, casual community. The last one, community, being a community that serves the greater community, right? This is one of the ways we can do it. If you decide to go down there, you can get yourself a little barbecue, and you might recognize some tables and chairs because that's the way we're supported. We let them borrow that stuff, and the good news is they pick all of it up, and they bring all of it back, and we don't have to lift a thing. So, prayers to Rob, who's running that and such. Let's get going. We're Proverbs chapter 3, 5, and 6. We're actually going to look at verses 1 through 6 today, and we're part 4, so we're down to the next phrase, in all your ways. And I hope that you'll see that, yes, you can do a sermon on 4 very small words. And the idea of scripture that has always fascinated me is that some of the greatest concepts come in the smallest of words. And some of you may say, Scott, you know, that's not the full phrase. It says, in all your ways, acknowledge him. I was like, whoa, don't get ahead of yourself. We're going to do acknowledge him next week. Okay. Do we ever skip him?
No.
We're going to get him this week, and you're getting double dose out of these two phrases. And so we're going to look at that this morning. And then later in the chapter, there's 11 verses that I want us to look at as well, because Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 is kind of one of those devotional verses. Some people, it's like one of their favorite verses. Wayne It was one of his favorite verses. In fact, we quoted it yesterday at the memorial service. It was Julie, my lovely wife, who quoted. But sometimes the verses that are devotional that pop up in your feed or K-Love reads over the air or whatever to just inspire you, whatever, they leave out the rest of the chapter and some of the commentary that validates or qualifies, quantifies what was said. And I want us to see that this morning because all our ways might be the hardest in the whole of those two verses. Maybe in the whole of the chapter. And I want you to see that because the chapter spends so much time talking about all our ways later. Let's pray and then we'll jump right in. Lord, thanks for this morning. And we do thank you for grandparents and parents. We praise you for children and all the great moments in life and the things that you get to bless us with. I pray that this morning we would be reminded that you supersede all of them, more valuable than any. And I pray that our time in your word will help us to see that and enjoy it, maybe inspire us as we go from here. And so we pray all of this in your son Jesus' name. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. Let's read through it here. My son, do not forget my teaching. We've pointed out in the past that we have to be told not to forget because we forget. We're good at it. I'm a professional. But let your heart keep my commandments for length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. I mean, we have to say Wayne right now. 96 plus, the sweetest man, never angry, super giving, never received more from anyone than he gave. And he was here forever. I think he knew dinosaurs. Do not let kindness and truth leave you, because you have to hold on to them. Bind them around your neck, write them on the tablet of your heart, so you will find favor and good repute inside of God and man. I think I have to say Wayne again. At the same time, we want to say that is the hope and the prayer for someone like Roxanne. Right? I mean, where's she headed? Well, Scott, she's in your family. We all got questions, you know. We want his favor. And we want it to the point that it's recognized by others. Verse 5, here we go. Trust in the Lord. Maybe, let's do this. Could we recite it out loud? You know, some churches, they do like responsive readings, whatever. Let's pretend we're a church for a minute and not just a family gathering, right? So I'm going to start with that trust word, and then we're going to read through the whole. It's trust in the Lord, by the way, right? And then. So I'm going to say trust, you're going to say in the Lord, and then we're going to go to this slide and we're going to read it all, okay? Trust in the Lord
with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding.
In all your ways, and may the Lord bless the reading of his word, amen?
Amen.
In all your ways, Scott, I mean, I get this philosophy you have about all the small words and the greatest of doctrines come from it, but how are you going to do this? How are you going to do 3 points or at least and pull other stuff out? Because you read more than just the passage. I want to encourage you every Sunday, whatever we look at, there's a chance to read what was before it and what's after it. Find other places in Scripture that complement it, or even more fun, contradict it. And then try to figure out why. I was reading something a while back, and it said, in reality, God has no mistakes, absolutely no mistakes. And we love that. And so we want to find in Scripture, how do we make sense of that?
It obviously makes sense of to him. In fact, in his sense, he made reality to work perfectly. Now, what's our problem with reality? Us? I generally want my reality to be a little different than his, right? Lunch is too late, or it's too far a drive, or so-and-so isn't coming, or so-and-so showed up. Whatever it is, there's all kinds of things that I wish to be different. Every time I do that, in any ways, I'm questioning God's reality. So who am I really questioning? We asked this question at church in Heights, was not here. We're questioning God. If he makes you wait, then he made you wait. The ones I really don't like are, if he made you sick. Well, Scott, God doesn't make people sick. I could show you chapter and verse. If he takes something away, that's no fun. Job talked about that, lost everything. And we question those, and yet when he gives, blesses, heals, one of my favorite, expedites, like when you get something faster than you were supposed to. We question that? No. When it's good, I don't need God. That's the most backwards of theology. When it's good, why would you need God? This is a real question. This is the responsive portion of the morning, interactive. When it's good, why would you need God? Because the good comes from him. But I already got the good. Once I got the goods, God, you can be on your way. I'm going to be over. Oh, Lisa. Because I want more. Anybody? Anybody a subscriber to more? Me likes more. Right? There's another reason, an even better reason. When things are good, or you have the goods, or you're really healthy, or everybody likes you and has subscribed, why would you need God? You're two for two. You want it to keep going. The Lord giveth. Amen? And the Lord taketh away. Amen. Oh, wait, we don't want to say amen to that. Dear Lord, please don't take this moment from me. Dear Lord, please let my health extend. Please, Lord, keep this going. I love what Wayne said one day to Julie and I. Tear up that do not resuscitate. I want to live. Man, I think he knew in all his ways better than me. And I'm okay with that. Because I want to learn how to do all my ways. You ready? Here we go. Flip over your outline at the top there. It says Proverbs 3, 1 through 6. Then it says 25 through 35. We didn't read that, Scott. It's point number 2. First one. Here we go. Ooh. No, first fill in, please. Here we go. Yes. Passage talks about the journey. And everybody's journey is different. Not only is everybody's journey different, your journey could be different. So something my mom always told me, there's always options. Now, I think at the time I was young enough to, what's options? What is that, right? You start learning that there's options. Well, chance starts to dance in your head. Decisions, people, scenarios, because the journey varies. Was that you, Sarah? My gosh. Ladies, you're 3 for 3. Guys, 0 for. That's right. The journey varies. Is that the most simplest, easiest truth for a pastor to say on stage on a Sunday? I mean, it pretty is, right? The journey varies. We have DNA. Are we different? Like scary different. No, we're same and scary too, right? But there's so many ways that the journey varies. And I need to get over looking at someone else's journey and saying, I want their journey. They got a better journey than me. I also want to get over looking at people and saying, well, I'm glad I'm not him. You know that parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector? They go into the temple to offer. And the negative thing said about the Pharisee is that he prayed and said, God, thank you that I'm not like this tax collector. Oh, what an indictment. Not on the tax collector. I got to figure out how I do my own journey. And that has been one of the hardest things for this little boy. Okay? Still a little boy. So long as we're clear. Okay? Scott, you're not a boy and you ain't little. What's the statement about? Why would I call myself a little boy still? Child of God and still learning. Is my journey over? I'm still on the journey and I'm still learning. That's bad news, folks. You ever been on a journey and said, hey, where are we going? And the response is, I don't know. Got a map? Nope. Well, how are we going to get there? No idea. When are we going to get there? When we get there. I hate that answer. We'll get there when we get there. It's like one of those other terrible phrases. It is what it is. You just used a lot of words and said nothing. The journey varies. It's very clear in this passage, God talking about that. But the thing that I think is missed is if the journey varies and you're to avoid comparison and you have options in the variance, then what's your course of action? Because we just established you don't have a map, you don't know the destination, and you don't even know how to get there. I mean, because folks, I'll be honest with you. I used to have all the answers. I really did. You know, my 20s. Do you remember that? In your 20s, we got all the answers. You know better than everybody else. I love that. I wish I could go back there. Because the older I get, the more question I have and the fewer answers. Like everything is like, missing it. So what do you need? Because you see that word there? So ellipsis. For any of you who don't know what the three dots is, it's called an ellipsis, right? It meant pause, or I like one of the phrases, it's kind of gone out of style, but they sometimes young people still use it. Wait for it, right? That's the wait for it symbol. So, because I've said the journey varies, so wait for it. Are we about to give you a course of action? Yeah? Who's waiting? It starts with the C. Anybody guess? You won't guess this one. Continue would be great. Commit, awesome, because we're assuming we're committing to God. Cooperate, that would be good. I mean, you can write these all inside. My favorite, because we're on a journey, carpool. Carpool. The journey varies. So carpool. Now, I'm going to let you in behind a curtain. The dysfunction that is me within my own family. We'll have a place to go to an event or such that requires driving. And we have other responsibilities later in the day. Guys, you're tracking with me. Now we need a plan, right? What is the most efficient way to go to said destination? And then after, we got to split up and go to other destinations. Should we take two cars? Now, I know my head is large, but you need to understand most of it is just skull bone. It's very thick. And I have, for some reason, continued to ask this question of Julie 4 years. Should we take separate cars? What's the answer? Pretty much every single time. No. No, we're not. No. We're not taking separate cars. And I'm like, but efficiency and multiple destinations and, well, extra gas and miles in the car and not to speak of time wasted. What's her argument? Sarah, you have made the women four for four. She says, I want us to go together. What she's really saying is, you're measuring efficiency. I'm measuring relationship. Together. Connection. Are we getting the analogy? We have a lot of things that we pursue. We pursue relationships. We pursue money through work. We have leisure. Habits. What else do we have? Fun. Well, I said work. Rest. Food. Sleep. Soccer practice. It's up there on the priorities, right? We have many, many, many things. We have to figure out how to do efficiency less and do God more. In how many ways? All our ways. So the best way is say, God, get in the car. We're carpooling. Now, this is great news. Because if we've established that you don't know where you're going or how you're getting there, you don't have a map, then who do you want in the car? Assume that is most of my scenarios right now. And I'm collecting more and more scenarios where I need him to carpool with me because I am lost more than I knew. And I'm starting to think that the pastor in Little Rock, Arkansas, who said, Scott, you're not as good as you think you are, was dead on. Love that. And here's the greatest thing. When efficiency is no longer my standard of measure, but connection and relationship is, I have a shot. I have a shot. You'll never be efficient and you'll never be perfect. Amen? Wayne tried. He almost got there and no one will come close to him. Find a way to get God in the car with you wherever it is you're going. Or if you're just sitting on the side of the road because you want to be on your phone and you don't want to be driving and using your handheld device. Whatever it is. Verse 6 makes that clear. In all your ways, acknowledge him. Right? Why? Because the definition. Uh-oh. The definition. Oh, now if you can't guess this. It's not definition. It's defined. 5-0, guys. The destination is defined. What do you mean? I mean, this is as simple as... some of you could do this job, really. Just take really simple stuff and repeat it. There's two destinations, right? What are they? Pick one. What are two of our ultimate destinations? Heaven, and the other one is... The destination's defined, folks. Figure out who's in your car. Love that. I heard a story one time of a guy who was driving, and the windows were down, and this car full of rowdy people on their way to the party pulls up next to him, and he looks over, and they're like, "Hey, dude, what's up? We're going to party. Are you going to be there?" And he didn't know what to respond. Being a Christian guy, he said, "I don't know, but I know the biggest party's in heaven. Are you going to be there?" Love that one. Right? Okay. We clear on this? Your journey is going to vary mostly because of you, 100% because of him. Those are the two people you need in the car. Can your journey be good? You see, that worries me. Because four of you said yes. And you said it almost as if, it can absolutely be amazing. In a couple days, I'm going to try to get to this. In a couple days, it will be exactly 31 years to the day that I walked up the stairs at Wayne Klink's house, Wayne and Carol Klink's house. And I got to the top of the stairs and I rang the doorbell, and they knew I was coming because I called ahead. I talked to my parents and said, I'm about to go over to see Wayne and Carol. What was this for? No, I wanted to borrow some sugar. What are you talking about? I get to the door and they open the door. And it was a Scott Brugger moment, folks. I mean, this is so great. Halfway up the stairs, I had stepped in gum. It was one of you, or it was Renee. I don't know. It was one of you three. All right. For risk of Renee's not here, we're not going to blame her. Jill, I want us to have a great relationship always, so we're not going to blame you. So Julie left gum on the stairs. I stepped in this gum, and I go a couple steps, and I'm like, what is, you know how, right? And this thing is streaming like three steps. It's taffy. And I'm like, I can't take another step. I just rang the doorbell. Oh, no. This is horrible. I take the shoe off. I'm sitting there. I mean, there's so many, like, after the fact, you rethink it. Why don't I just take both shoes off, set them down? And they'd be like, why don't you have shoes on? Ah, my feet were hot from driving. I just, is that okay? Yeah. No one would have known. Not me. I got my left shoe on. I got my right shoe in my hand, and I got a string of gum. Hey, can I marry your daughter? They're like, what happened? Whatever. Now, did they care about the gum? They knew why I was there. They're like, sorry, we don't have any sugar. We came in, sat down. I couldn't clean my shoe. You know what my question was? Can this go well? How's this going to turn out? 31 years later. Bam! That's not good, folks. That's not good. What is it? Awesome, great, amazing, unfathomable. I mean, I've known these two boys since they were barely born. They're family now, by marriage. We don't care about that anymore. You know what I mean? I could have never guessed any of this stuff. I had no map, no understanding of what we're going or what we're doing. I'm just going to trust in the Lord. In how many ways?
All.
And we'll see where the chips fall. I like to, next fill in, I'd like to introduce you to my mom. And one of the things she always said to me, right? Larry? You always have a choice. Bam! Men, you're on the board. You always have a choice.
Well, that's not really true. I mean, my parents said this, and so then I had to, my teacher said that, my boss said, my employee, that the barista said, what?
No.
I was with somebody recently, and we had dinner reservations, and we walked up to the dinner reservations, and they're like, oh, we're sorry, blah, 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 blah. And I loved it. Because the guy, he looked at him and said, okay, could you cancel the reservation for me, please? Thank you. And I'm like, wait, what just happened? I thought we were eating here. We had a plan, a reservation. All right. You have a choice. You can just move on. Or you could stay, wait 45 minutes for the next table or whatever. And like, if you stay, whose choice was it?
Yours.
If you leave, whose choice was it?
Yours.
Here's the weird, I could have let him go. I would say, see you later, we're going to stay. No, would that have been a bad choice? Maybe. Who knows? What if he gets hit by a car on the way to the next dinner? Was it a bad choice? No, it was a good choice. I'm alive.
We love to second guess choice. And we love to give away our power thinking that someone else has already defined it for you. You have to because they fill in the blank.
I love that.
Now, Mary said, I want to introduce you to my mom.
She's right over there.
This is the way she explained it to me. She told me to do something, and I was like, I don't want to do that.
And she said, well, you always have a choice. What'd that mean?
I said, I don't have to put the crayons away?
No, you don't have to put the crayons away. You have a choice.
But there will be results that come about from you not putting the crayons away. Right? You can order the foot-long sub sandwich. You have that choice. But you can't get up from the table until it's all gone. Right? Some of you got to hear that story last night.
I wanted the sandwich. She knew it was too big for me. I was 8 or 9 or something. She said, oh, learning opportunity. See, she knew she had a choice. She could have just said no. She said, wait, I'm going to have more fun with this. Right? I hope you try this with Roxanne.
Let's make a deal. I'll buy you the footlong, and you stay at the table until you finish it. Now, what is the ego of a 9-year-old boy who's hungry? I could eat a horse, right?
Is it like 4 hours, 5 hours, something like that?
We were at the park. My brothers are off on the play structures running around. Mark was there. It's really embarrassing how many people witnessed this. We load up and leave because I'm still sitting at the picnic table the whole time. We get in the car, we go home, and I'm like, whew, finally out of it. She says, nope, here's your sandwich. Put it on the kitchen table. Come on in. Sit down. You're the next contestant in. You have a choice. Wow.
Has absolutely shaped my relationship with the Lord. She may have thought she was teaching me parenting or childing. I've come to realize she was teaching me theology. That I always have a choice.
Verses 25 through 35, let's fly through these. We're not going to spend too much time. Do not be afraid of sudden fear. Is there going to be opportunities for fear? That's one of the ways. Nor the onslaught of the wicked. Are you going to run into wicked people? Sally, do we know some of the same people? All right. For the Lord will be your confidence. If he's carpooling with you. And will keep your foot from being caught. You ever had your foot caught?
I do not like that.
Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due. Do you sometimes have resources that other people need? Why did he give you the resources if not for that scenario? Especially when it's in your power to do so. Do not say to your neighbor, go and come back tomorrow, right? I'll give it to you then. Are there going to be times when you want to make other people wait?
Yes.
Why would you do that? Selfish. And when you have it with you, you could have gave it to him. Verse 29, do not devise harm against your neighbor while he lives securely beside you. He's fine, but you're going to mess with him. Do not contend with a man without cause. If he's done you no harm. You know what that really says? Stop picking fights. Or how do we say it? Stop poking the... Some of us love the adrenaline and endorphin rush of poking the bear. Let's just argue for the sake of argue. What? That's called negative, pessimistic, you need a timeout. Right? Did any of you do timeouts? Show of hands. Did you get timeouts? Yeah. Okay. All right. I want to make sure it wasn't just me. Do not envy a man of violence. Well, they get what they want because they're big and they're strong, or they've got better capabilities. Do not choose any of his ways. You see, David is listing out now different scenarios of all your ways. Is he listing all of them? No. But he's meant for you to start thinking about all of them and say, hey, creatively, what could you think of? And does that qualify as part of all? Yes, it does. For the devious are an abomination to the Lord, but he is intimate with the upright. Get out your outlines. Look at the top. It says Proverbs 3, 1 through 6 and 25 through 35. Then it says in all your ways. And then that's the verse right there that I put at the top. Can you go back one slide? For the devious are an abomination to the Lord. You have an opportunity. You have a choice. You have options. In every scenario that you're in every relationship, and at every time, in all places, to be devious. And here's the problem. Our culture loves it. They're professionals. They justify it because my side has to win, and I got to get mine. It's really when I started turning on sports a little bit, right? I mean, there was a time where sports were competing with God. This is confession time for Scott. Sports started dropping off when I started hearing professional athletes talk and hear how selfish they were. I don't care how you say it. Then I started hearing actors and actresses and politicians and teachers. What do you mean I got to buy that textbook? $65. We used it three times. About seven pages of the whole thing. But you got your $65, didn't you? Might be still a little bitter about that. For the devious are an abomination to the Lord, but he is intimate with the upright. Man, what would it be like to be intimate with the Lord? You know, there's people that actually try that. They talk to him. They read his posts. They like his stuff. They subscribe. They go to his concerts. They read his press releases. They watch his channel. The best ones question him regularly. How many things do you have the answers to that make sense in his economy? Because I got very few. But I know if I am going to figure it out, if I am going to get an answer, if I am going to learn how to love my neighbor, absolutely no matter what, whoever they are, I will need him to be intimate with me, sitting in the car next to me. In fact, can I be in the passenger seat and can you start driving? We never talked about who was driving. I just said carpool. He says, let me drive. The curse of the Lord is on the house of the wicked, but he blesses the dwelling of the righteous. Love that. The house, what's it get? Cursed. Top word, far right corner. The house gets cursed, but the dwelling gets blessed. What's the difference between a house and a dwelling? Hey, do you have a house? Yeah, I got a house. Do you have a dwelling? What's a dwelling? And how's it different from a house? Huh?
Inside.
It's the inside, but it's a place where you actually spend time. Some of you have houses and you spend no time there. I just Airbnb it, whatever. Or let's be honest. You sleep there for 8 hours and you spend most of your time elsewhere. That's all of us. This is a house. This is a building. A dwelling is where you spend time, where you invest. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. It is where the Spirit dwells. I heard it said that a Christian is one in whom Christ dwells. That implies time and ongoing interaction rather than ownership. I think Christian kind of misses it a little bit. Are you a Christian?
Yes. I have a cross and I wear it. So everybody knows my title. I'm a Christian.
And the conversation's over. You're a Christian, okay, but how do you act? Oh, I act like a Christian. Now we're talking about ongoing. Right? Oh, you're a Christian? Yeah. Well, how does that play out? Well, I try in every way to love my neighbor. Now we're getting definition. And by the way, lots of work and lots of time. 34, though he scoffs at the scoffers, yet he gives grace to the afflicted. The wise will inherit what? Honor, but the fool display dishonor. May the Lord bless the reading of that word. The journey varies, and so you want to carpool with him and make sure that you're making the right choices along the way, because there's always options. But you need to choose. And this is another thing Mom used to say to me all the time. Life is about patterns. In all your ways. Why in all your ways? Because in all your ways is going to become your pattern. How you talk to people will be a pattern. It's funny, I love patterns. Because Mom started me at like 4. Hey, find the pattern. You know, your sleep schedule should be a pattern. You know, your meals should be a pattern. Your exercise should be a pattern. Your math, you should practice regularly. What's that? A pattern. I love recognizing them. Like when people say the same phrase over and over again to where it's lost its meaning. In every way, shape, and form. I know somebody who says, in every way, shape, and form. All the time. He may have a hat on this room, and it's not Austin, and it's not Tompkins. In every way, shape, and form. It's a pattern. What you do to your body, what you let go into your eyes, what you think about, what you say, where you spend your time, your money, what you schedule, what you don't, who you serve, and when you do alone, how you rest, in all your ways, you will develop a pattern. Wayne had a pattern. And it was blowing me away that a 96-plus-year-old would have that many people at a funeral service. And then at one point, we couldn't even walk in his house. There's people everywhere, shoulders, and I got bruises. Choose the pattern of his, and I want you to see the verses that we get, the last four verses of that last four section. I just put them in backwards order, right? 35, 34, 33, 32. Because all four verses guarantee something different. When somebody guarantees you something and you want to define that with a word that starts with a P, promise, you want to find the pattern of his promises, one that he will honor you. You can get honor. How? If you are in all your ways carpooling with him. If you're accessing him, thinking about him, how would he handle this? Does the scripture say anything about this scenario? Should I avoid it? In verse 34, he said he promises you grace. That poor kid needs some grace. In verse 33, it says that you've been promised, what is it? Blessing. I love more. Blessing is way better because it's more implied and it's for sure good. Because you could get more and not like it. I could have more infirmities. I don't want that more. I could have more pounds. Right? I want the more that's good, you know, like more hair. Right? Blessings. And then last, intimacy. Honor, grace, blessing, and intimacy. Scott, you're so weird. You put them backwards. 35, 34, 32. What? Why would you do that, Scott? I mean, the short verse, because Hebrews write differently than we do. They give you the main point right at the beginning. They never bury the lead. And then they explain it. What did he lead with? Verse 32, what's the best of those four? I would argue intimacy. I need intimacy first. Blessing might take some time. Or I might, this is the one that really messes with me. I might already have blessing and I'm ignorant to it. And I find out later, oh wait, he took care of me. He protected me. Julie's favorite one, when we're driving, we come up on an accident and then you're sitting and it's stopped traffic. I hate that. And then she'll say, yeah, it's a good thing we weren't earlier and we get to sit in the traffic because we could have been part of the accident. I love that and I hate it. Right? It might be the honor, grace, and blessing are going to happen later. They're happening now, or they happened a long time ago. The only way for us to see clearly the way he sees his reality is to be close to him. And you can do that in many, many ways. What's wrong with that statement? I changed the title. What's the title? In many, many of our ways? No, we can do it in all ways. Right? I never understood that verse. Pray without ceasing. What? When I'm I can't have my head down and my eyes closed while I'm driving. I can't pray always without stopping. But if God said it, then, I mean, he must not be very smart. God, you got that one wrong. Or he means something different. There's a way to have the mentality of Christ in you. In such a way that you start getting clarity. And the other word for clarity is reality. What did we say the other day? When I'm at my best, my mind sings and my heart knows why. Because I've started integrating head and heart. I was talking to somebody and they were talking about this whole thing. The dichotomy of the heart's over here and the head's over there and we've got feelings and we've got thoughts and then there's emotional responses and then there's logical conclusions. And they suggested the idea to me that in Hebrew, the two should never part. They're actually all together. And I started looking around for evidence of that, and I found it. Soul. You ever heard him talk about the soul? Your soul, right? My soul rests in the Lord. What is that? It's the unity and complete synchronizing of my thoughts and emotions is who I am, is resting in the Lord. Well, how do you do that, Scott? Well, the journey varies. Figure out your way. Figure out your way. Amen?
Amen.
I will say this in ending. I really loved Wednesday, I think. We went to a women's Bible study. It was lunch, but it wasn't potluck. We went out. And we had lunch, and there was all these amazing ladies. I figured out at lunch, they're all smarter than me. But Velma got up and did a lesson, kind of, devotional. She taught, let's say it that way. She's an amazing teacher. We talked about Luke 18. And the widow that comes regularly to the judge and is harassing him daily. Give me, give me, give me. And the judge gives up, finally gives it, just so that she would leave him alone. And then it says, hear what the unrighteous judge says. And the comparison of them would be to the righteous judge. Does God give us things just because we pester him regularly? Velma made an amazing theological point that I think we all should know. If God knows everything, do I really need to pray? He already knows what I'm going to pray. He's clearer on my reality than I am. So what's the point of praying? Especially praying every single day. In all my ways. Because he'll finally hear it. I'm sorry, is the Lord diminished capacity? He hears all of it. And he keeps listening. Why does he wait? Why does he let it go on? Because the repetition is actually for our benefit. Praying to God regularly, daily, is so that you remember. In fact, in a few minutes, we're going to say, do this in remembrance of me. Because we need the repetition so that we get it. It's way better than the unrighteous judge. And at the very end, it says, but when the Lord comes, will he find faith on the earth? Ooh, that's interesting, because that's a righteous judge situation. It has nothing to do with the unrighteous judge or the nagging widow. That's just, I want some and she's bothering me. God's doing, I want to bless. Do they know it? Do they remember it? Do they believe it? Are they pursuing me? It's for our benefit. Your journey is for your benefit. Your destination is defined. You get to pick who's in the car with you. You get to make all of the choices along the way, because somehow God, in his omnipotence and his full ordination of all things, has decided to give you choice at the same time. Do not ask me how those work together. And then he says, here's the outcomes. The destination is set, the journey is not. And you can enjoy honor and grace and blessing and intimacy along the way. My relationship with the Lord exploded when somebody says, well, yeah, you can get salvation from his finished work on the cross so that you can get fire insurance, avoid hell. But between now and when you die, what would you like that relationship to be like? How would you like that journey to go? Now I got a whole different set of things to measure. Amen? Will there be tragedy, pain, loss? Say yes. Say yes.
Yes.
Say yes again.
Yes.
Could there be greatness and joy and fun and healing? Yes. Blessing and love? I mean, How weird would it be if the Lord gave us the desires of our heart? Oh, wait, that's in the Bible more than one place. The equation's there. Just got to reach out and take it. Okay? You can be nicer when you reach out and take it if you want. If you never start a relationship with the Lord, if you want to know what it's like to experience God the way Wayne did or the way Roxanne will, maybe a little bit the way I, you can do that anytime. And we're going to talk about this next week. The beggar invalid who can't move, and Jesus is walking by and he screams to him, "Son of David, have mercy on me. I want in." You can say that anytime you want. "Lord, have mercy on me. I want your salvation. I accept you as Lord. I recognize the cross. Show me how to do this thing. I'm done doing it on my own." And if that's you, I want to help. That's what I signed up for. Come see me. Father, thank you for this morning and what we get to know about you, that you're willing and more than willing, desire to be with us all the time, regardless of our condition or our thinking. None of that matters. You just want to be with us. It's kind of like the joy of being around a newborn infant. You just want to be around them all the time. We love that imagery, Lord. And I pray that you would help us to pursue you in the same way, with the same intensity that you pursue us. We thank you, Lord, for those who are making decisions on how they're going to practically live this out when they walk out of here. And pray that you would help us as a church to support them. We thank you for the offering that we're about to receive, and we pray that you would bless it. In Jesus' name, amen. Right, isn't that funny? May you experience intimacy with him. Amen?
Amen.
Go with him.
Amen.